Eyes on the Game hits the air with the biggest guests. MMA and boxing news. Interviews from the red carpet and exclusive stories from the hottest insider in sports. Vegas-born Helen Yee. Follow her on social media at Helen Yee Sports. This is Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee on Sports 920 The Game.
Friday, hey. Or French Friday. I did eat my French fries, so I'm allowed to say that.
Love it.
I don't know about Ari, but...
Oh, I ate some French fries.
You did? Which kind?
I'm just kidding. I had mac and cheese. I would have loved some.
The curly fries cheese, or the hand-cut fries?
I like curly
Do you like
fries.
The potato skins on the fries, or...?
Yeah, that's cool. Mostly. I'm a little picky about that. Someone, like, you ever had boardwalk fries?
Boardwalk?
Yeah, no. They're kind of hit or miss. They're like extra skin, very like kind of an East Coast.
Okay,
staple.
Let me Google boardwalk.
I think you would like them.
Boardwalk fries.
But they are really—they do have quite a bit of skin on them, so it's an acquired thing.
Oh, interesting. Oh yeah, no, these are pretty like they're normal. I didn't know there's a name for them.
I mean, again, that's like it's like an East Coast thing. I just remember from like Atlantic City and stuff. They used to have that style.
Oh, I mean, it looks good. I would definitely try that out.
I'm down with every potato pretty much, except like tater tots. I'm just not a big fan of.
Really?
I don't know why.
Tater tots with extra ketchup. That's the way to go for me. But
good to know.
Yeah, so a busy week this past week. Well, on today's show, I do have interviews with the manager of Extreme Couture, and he's a coach there, Eric Nixick. He trains Kevin Lee, Jessica I, Emily Whitmire, and Dan Ige, just to name a few UFC fighters that he helps train. So he will be on the show after the first break, and then later on, I do have a Vegas born, but now New York Giants' very own Will Hernandez. He'll be joining me on the show. I got a chance to catch up with him, which was pretty cool because I spoke to him before he got selected by the Giants in the second round, 34th pick overall, I believe. And so, I mean, it's cool. Still the same humble guy, still as nice and professional as ever. And if you look at him, you're like, wait, he's only in his early 20s. Like, he does not seem like that. Very professional. And I got a chance yesterday at the gym at the PSI where he was training at. His father was there as well. So I will be playing that interview a bit later on in the show. And then also I do have an interview with Marlon Moraes, former WSOF champion, now UFC bantamweight. He is fighting Henry Cejudo because a lot has been going on in that bantamweight division after TJ Dillashaw relinquished his title. So now it will be the flyweight champion Henry Cejudo moving up in weight to fight Marlon Moraes, UFC 238 on June 8th in Chicago. So I got a chance to catch up with him. So again, I'll be playing that interview a bit later on as well. And I got to check out the Aviators, their field, their new field, the Las Vegas Ballpark. And I do believe they've been doing well so far. I know that their season just started as well. And just like the Whites last weekend, they won their game last Saturday. I know the Aviators, they won their first game of the season yesterday at El Paso. They won 9-8. So congratulations to them. Don't forget, though, their home game, they're at their new ballpark, which should be extremely exciting. And plus, the weather's beautiful out right now. I think right now the temperature is perfect. So Tuesday, April 9th, mark that down on your calendars. I will be there as well, 7.05 p.m., the opening night in the Las Vegas ballpark. So, yeah, have you gotten a chance to see it, Ari?
Just in pictures and stuff. I haven't gone down there yet.
It's beautiful.
And yeah, it looks great. And everybody, like yourself, everybody that's been there is like, just, yeah, all positive stuff.
Yeah, it makes me wish I was a baseball player.
Right. You that's know, that's a good thing for recruiting, right? Someone told me, I'll quote, something to the effect of like, it is probably one of the best, possibly one of the best minor league stadiums, if not the best now. I mean, that's more of a, you know, an opinion thing, but it's pretty awesome to be considered in that conversation. In addition to having T-Mobile, like we're really coming along good.
We'll yeah. So much going on in Las Vegas in just 1 year away from the Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders, on Tuesday, I will be getting an exclusive interview for you guys. Can't tell you what, but I could tell you he used to play on the Raiders, so stay tuned for that. And shout out to the Raiders. I love covering all their events and whatnot, so like I said, Tuesday, stay tuned for that. I'll be somewhere right before my show trying to get all the best and exclusive interviews for you listening, and I appreciate all your continued support. But yeah, so Ari, busy time in sports. I mean, and hockey. Yesterday was the final regular season home game for the Golden Knights. Unfortunately, we fell to Arizona 4-1. But I mean, we're going to the playoffs against San Jose Sharks, starting off in San Jose.
Yeah, it's an interesting. It's been really physical playing against them all year. If you've seen it, there's been fights and all kinds of stuff. So
and Brent Burns, I mean, he loves to fight, I feel.
Yeah, well, and so does Ryan Reeves. So.
That's true. So I did interview Ryan Reeves about fighting and even John Jones.
When he gets that look in his face, he kind of smirks, like smiles almost. It's freaky, but it's like, hey, he's on our team, so it's okay. it kind of scares me a little bit. I wouldn't want to be on the opposing end because you know someone's really going to hurt you when they're smiling.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the scariest part. I mean, even I noticed, too, and speaking of that, you bring up a good point, Ari, because even some fights that I watch, and I mean, a lot of you, if you're listening to the show right now and you're a regular listener, which, again, I do appreciate, you probably know that I cover the fight game very closely, combat sports, boxing, and MMA. So sometimes I notice during fights, some fighters will, when they get hit hard, they'll smile. But right after that, I mean, they like turn it on, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, it's creepy. Again, like, I mean, I get it. You're out there having fun. It's different for them, but sometimes I'm like, whoa, something's about to go down.
No, like I said, they smile and then something goes down.
Bam, yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, so, I mean, in hockey, I think it's maybe it's just a human nature, like a
absolutely.
Here's natural reaction.
Another thing, well, sometimes when I'm working up there and I'm not really like watching the game itself, so I don't know what's going on, but I'll hear cheering and I'm thinking, oh, good, we're about to score. I'll look up and it's a fight. Like everyone gets, I would say the cheering for fights are almost as big as for goals. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, hey, we love fights, right?
Yeah, it was rocking last night too. I didn't see too many Arizona fans, interestingly enough, because we really do bring we get a lot of the opposing team's fans usually. And sometimes it's like, it's actually uneven where they have more people out there. This time it was pretty much all Vegas Golden Knights people, which is nice.
Yeah. It'd
been nice to get the win, but.
But I mean, how do you think, because you've covered every single, or you've had to work every single Golden Knights game. And by the way, if you're tuning in right now and you're looking for the best Golden Knights coverage, make sure you tune into our sister station. I can't talk today. Must have been the French fries. Over at 98.9 Fox Sports 1340 AM. The guys over at Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Yep. They're on 2 to 3 Monday through Friday, and then covering.
Yeah, so they
Frank
do an excellent job covering everything Golden Knights. So make sure you check them out, and especially during the playoffs. Of course, I mean, I'll be talking about some highlights, but their coverage is very extensive and it's amazing. So make sure you check them out for sure. But anyway, so Ari, like I mentioned, you've been kind of working every Golden Knights game, kind of behind the scenes for the radio station. So what are your thoughts, you know, on this first round matchup? And even though we did play them last year, how do you think, I mean, obviously it's different this year and with the different players, but what do you think of this year?
That's the first thing I was going to say to answer you was it's definitely a different season, and that's not a good or a bad thing. I mean, it's arguably they were playing better, I think, for a certain part of the season, not more recently, but so it's a different team than last year. And I don't even know how to compare it. Last year was just kind of one of a kind thing. I think this year, I mean, if they're going to continue to play as they've been the last few weeks, I mean, maybe if Fleury's not rusty, it should, at one point, this was going to be a series I think that we would have dominated. And now I'm not really sure just because the way they've been playing. But then there's also a lot of feedback that I get about they don't need to win these games. So right now their focus is on the playoffs. So these last five or six games, maybe that doesn't make much sense to me from the organization standpoint. I could never, you know, like I could never come to work and say, well, it's not that busy. I'm not really going to work hard. So I'm not sure how that works, but if they can kick it back up to, you know, basically the Stone Age when that started, where they were playing like that, everything was just firing on all cylinders. Everything was so good. Then I could see them, you know, getting,
I mean, but do you think they'll have that same success as last year? You know,
I don't know. I really don't know. Because here's the other thing. If they do take down San Jose, which is, you know, very feasible, then they're looking at either Calgary or Colorado, which I think would be will be Calgary. And we haven't fared too well against them either. So it's tougher matchups, I think, this year. And I also think one thing that I look at that people said in the beginning of the season anyway, if you remember, they started kind of slow this season, VGK. They weren't really winning a ton of games in the beginning. I think, and a lot of people said, they're not a secret anymore. It's not like everybody thinks, oh, it's this new expansion team.
That's
they're just going
to
get their butts
there's
whooped.
No tape to review. There's no...
Yeah, people now, are kind of, now we all know they're the Stanley Cup, you know, almost won the Stanley Cup. So, you know, when people come to play VGK, it's like, all right, we got to beat these guys. And I personally think that that has hit us this year. Like, I don't know if it's complacency or what, but yeah, it's just
or
not,
maybe the chemistry?
Could be, yeah. I mean, a lot of the people, like Ryan and Frank, they say that this team is stacked better this year, you know, with the addition of Stone and Pacioretty and Stastny. They really are, you know, like arguably on paper a better team this year. But I guess we'll see, though. But that's the cool thing about hockey. I mean, they really, you know, they could just as easily go all the way, or they, let's be honest, they could get swept in the first round. But I guess being realistic, yeah, I think they could squeeze by San Jose, and maybe depending on the momentum from there and if everybody's healthy and stuff, and Fleury obviously is a huge part of it. But yeah, from there, I think, you know, if they can get the right momentum, I don't see why they can't make a run. But yeah, I think most experts are probably saying that they might sneak past the first round, if that. So we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. But the great thing too about hockey playoffs, and I've spoken to several like hockey quote unquote experts, I guess you could say, the thing about that is an eighth seed could actually win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, easily too, the way it comes. So the game itself too. I mean, that's the cool thing about the sport itself. Just in a game, I mean, it could just be 1-0 or whatever, and just within a second, you know, all of a sudden, then a few seconds, whatever you want to call it, a few minutes, it could be 2-1. So,
yeah. Well, the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the first round schedule will be unveiled live on the NHL Network this Sunday, April 7th, at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Wow, super early, right? 7 a.m. Pacific.
I'm ready. We want to know.
Exactly.
Us
but
media people.
I don't know. Exactly. But I don't know if I'm waking up at 7 a.m. to read that, but maybe 8 a.m. I'll be up.
I'm just going to roll out of bed and open Twitter, and I know that 17 people will. I have you, I have Ryan, all these people, so I see usually like several tweets of the same, you know, the same info.
Yes. So like I said, exciting times in sports. Baseball's back. And like I said, Las Vegas Lights, you know, they won their first game this season this past weekend. So congratulations to them. They play at San Antonio at Toyota Field tomorrow. So I feel like the Lights don't play many home games here.
I'm not sure how that schedule works, but they might have a different arrangement.
Yeah, well, they'll be back on Saturday the 13th, and then they're actually out of town the week of the 20th.
So it's like weekly. Okay.
Yeah, bi-weekly. Maybe every other week, right?
There you go.
Kind of. No, then they're out again, back to back. Yeah. Well, anyway, good job to them and good luck to them tomorrow. But like I said, a lot going on and a lot of exciting fights coming up as well. But speaking of fights, after the break, I do have an interview with Eric Nixick of Extreme Couture. He is the manager and a great coach over there. So stay tuned. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. Yesterday on my Instagram, I did ask who people wanted me to interview coming up. And I got a lot of good responses, and I'm looking forward to trying to get those interviews for you. So I appreciate all your continued support and listening to the show and supporting the show. So gonna head to a quick break, and we'll be back with Eric Nixick. Stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Time to start planning for the 2019 swim season. Call B&D Pool Plastering and remodel your tired-looking pool. With B&D's 2019 swim season pricing, beat the rush. For a free estimate, call B&D Pool Plastering, 702-644-8980.
On February 18th, Sherry Lynn hit four nines, clearing her gambler's bonus four-of-a-kind bingo card for over $15,500. Sherry Lynn hit big on quarters, and so can you with gambler's bonus. It's why you play the game.
You know those smoking vehicles you see on the road? The toxins they emit soak into our soil and water and then get absorbed by plants and animals. So keep Nevada's air healthy. Report smoking vehicles at smogspotter.com.
Napoli's Pizzeria, the Valley's number one name in pizza, is having an April pickup special. Meaning, if you order a Napoli pastrami sub with fries, pick it up at any of the three Napoli's locations in the month of April, and your cost is only $6.99. Again, it's Napoli Pizza's April pickup special. Just $6.99 for a pastrami sandwich and fries. And since everything is prepared fresh each and every day, you know it's delicious. Napoli Pizzeria, locations on West Sahara, North Nellis, and in Henderson.
As Las Vegas continues to grow, Yes Air Conditioning and Plumbing is growing right along with it. Do you have what it takes to be a Yes Man? Yes is currently seeking Las Vegas's top talent in HVAC and plumbing. Become a member of the Yes Team. Apply today online in the career section of About Us at theyesmancan.com. Earn top pay and benefits in a great working environment. Start your career at Yes Air Conditioning and Plumbing at theyesmancan.com. License number 71233 and 71246.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross in FIM World Championship. Come see the world's best race for the world's biggest title. The finals return to Las Vegas, where a champion will be crowned. For tickets and information, visit unlvtickets.com. Sam Boyd Stadium, May 4th. Get your tickets today.
All right, let's pull up over here and drop a line. Are your feet wet? My feet are wet. Here's the drain plug. You put the plug in the drain, right? It's on the dock.
There's a reason they say curse like a sailor. Many reasons. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Help stock the Safe Nest Pantry at the 15th Annual Celtic Festival in Highland Games at Floydland Park at Tule Springs. Food, fun, and bagpipes. Bring a non-perishable food item to benefit Safe Nest and receive $1 off admission. Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th.
Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot means more meat on the grill for less money on the table. Right now, the exclusive Next Grill 5-burner gas grill is only $159, regularly $199. It's 5 burners of big enough to handle 23 burgers at once. That's enough burger flipping real estate for you and 22 of your closest friends. Today is the day for doing. With the Next Grill 5-burner gas grill, just $159. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
The 2019 Subaru Outback comes with road gripping, standard, symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus 32 miles per gallon. And it helps keep your journey safe with standard EyeSight driver assist technology for an extra set of eyes on the road. This may be our most adventurous Outback yet.
EPA estimated highway. Actual mileage may vary. EyeSight is a driver assist system that may not operate optimally under all driving conditions. Driver is responsible for safe and attentive driving. System effectiveness depends on many factors. See owner's manual.
SubaruLasVegas.com.
We served our country like those before us.
The camaraderie is what kept me going. You know, it was a dangerous era. All of Vietnam was dangerous.
I didn't know what to expect when I got back.
For the first 10 years after I got out, no one would have known that I was in the service.
I got home, got married 2 weeks later, got a job.
We came back, built lives, families, and communities, but we still had challenges.
The carnage of war left an indelible mark on me.
I would have intrusive thoughts. They're horrible nightmares.
Services and support that can help are available for veterans.
I went to the VA, talked to my doctor.
I started doing groups. I started doing one-on-one counseling.
We found ways to move past these challenges for ourselves and for our families. At MakeTheConnection.net, you can hear our stories and find tools and services available to you.
The more I talk to people, family, friends, other vets, the better I feel.
Vegas-born and ready to talk sports.
Here is Helen Yee with Eyes on the Game on Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for tuning in on this very happy Friday. And because the sun's out, so I'm not complaining. Trying to hit the golf range tomorrow. I haven't played golf in a while, so... Hey, that rhymed. You know what? I actually, speaking of interviews, I do have an interview with Floyd Mayweather Sr., though, but I'll probably play that on Tuesday. Unless there's some time today. But that one is, like all the interviews, on lvsportsnetwork.com. But like I said before the break, I did interview Eric Nixick from Extreme Couture. So we talk everything fights and some upcoming stuff for his fighters who do have some good fights lined up. And a title shot for Jessica I and moving up in weight for Kevin Lee. So here's my interview with Eric Nixick. Helen, you here with Eyes on the Game here at Extreme Couture with the man of the hour, Mr. Eric Nixick. Now, you are extremely busy. I just saw you with one of your fighters, Emily, setting the strawweight record, 101 in the first round, and then just coming off a win with Dan. And then now two big fights coming up, Kevin Lee moving to the welterweight division against RDA, Jessica I fighting for the title. First off, how's it been going with everything going on?
It's been great. You know, we just staying busy and trying to keep the schedule organized has been the toughest part. So, but yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, now, first off, I do want to talk to you about the wins of Emily and Dan. Can you kind of, you know, talk about that? Because we just mentioned it a bit off camera how, I mean, it seems like lately, like your fighters, they're not just winning, they're making statements.
Well, I think with Emily, first and foremost, is she just really believed in the system forever. We've had her since she was an amateur, and really a lot of that credit goes to Coach Dennis Davis. They worked together a lot. She's been doing all the little things that she needed to work on to get better, and she's very constructive. You know, we get a good win. Even in a win, she comes back to the drawing board and wants to know how she needs to improve. So just with that sort of mindset, you know, she's going to go places. It's been great having her. Dan Ige, another one where he's been so busy working with Ali. We talked about the career moves and things we thought we needed to do better, and that was pull back a little bit from Ali, focus more on your training, and those were the results.
Yeah. Now, when do you foresee them returning to the cage?
I was hoping Emily pretty soon, just because the way she won and the fashion she won, she got out of there unscathed. So I hope to see Emily fight maybe during the summer, and we're pushing for Dan to fight International Fight Week here. Yeah, here in town.
And maybe Emily there too, right?
I'd love that. It'd be easy. It's our home game for us, so yeah.
Yeah, and for the strawweights, who is there someone in particular you would like to see her matched up against?
We have a couple names in mind. We haven't really called anybody out. And as a coach, like, it's not really my... I just don't do that. I won't call anybody out in my position as the coach. I kind of let the fighters, they're the ones promoting the fight, and then if they have somebody in mind, then I let them do that. But for me as a coach, yes, I'm always looking at that roster and seeing, you know, maybe this would be a better fight for us stylistically. So we have a couple in mind.
Yes, and hopefully it comes to fruition. But the one that has Kevin Lee making his welterweight debut, how long was that in the works of him saying, you know what, it's time for me to move up?
It's always been in the back of our mind. And, you know, when Coach Fallis had Kevin, that was always Coach Fallis's big thing was the weight cut. Yeah. And we just always worried about how Kevin would feel after the fact. And when you looked at the Barboza fight, obviously Kevin, the way Kevin handled Barboza in the ring, but we did miss weight. And then Kevin did a great job making weight in the Ally Quinta fight, but the fight didn't go our way. Again, it could be something with the weight cut and the cardio. So as a team, we sat down and we looked at a couple different options. We looked at moving up to 170 and trying to find somebody that was maybe in 155 or that moved up to 170. So the RDA fight did make a lot of sense for us. And then on the flip side of that was if we stayed at 155, finding the right matchup as well. So we looked at both sides of it. And a lot of the guys at 155 didn't want to sign on the dotted line. This particular one, RDA said, let's go, let's do it. So it worked out well for us.
How do you see them matching up in there?
You know, I think honestly, you know, when you look at Usman, the way Usman fought RDA, the way Colby Covington fought RDA, you know, that should be a lot of our game plan as a wrestling heavy side of game plan. But, you know, RDA is a crafty veteran. He's been around the sport for a long time. He's fought the who's who. He's been a champion. So, I mean, it's really, he's not a guy you can take lightly. And you can't just come at him with just a wrestling game plan. It's got to be a lot. So we're gonna have to kind of try to get after him.
I think a win against RDA will catapult him high in that stacked division, right?
Absolutely, and you just look at what happened with Anthony Pettis. You look at what happened with Masvidal. Mm-hmm. So it's a division that I think that there's a lot of excitement right now. There's a new champion in that division. You got new guys coming in and out of that division, and it's that one with the biggest gap of weight. Mm-hmm. So you got a guy when you're fighting at 170 to 55s, you know, there's no 165 pound division. They're going to be a lot healthier, I think, in that regard. So Kevin come in, get a good win against a guy who's, in my opinion, one of the better fighters in the UFC that's been around for a long time in RDA, that can catapult him right into that discussion right away in the 170 division.
Now, I do remember Kevin saying that he would like a 165 division. I interviewed Ben Askren, who believes that there will be one in the fall. What do you think?
It makes so much sense. Yeah. And it's one of those where you're like, well, why don't they do it? I don't understand why. And I hope it's not where somebody has a horrible weight cut and that was the reason why they do this. But it's the one division where you have a 170 with a 15-pound gap in between. So, you know, if you actually went 175, 165, 155, that would make a lot of sense. And right away, you're gonna have a division. You're going to have Kevin Lee, Ben Askren, maybe a Cowboy Cerrone, maybe a Khabib. You know, guys that have a hard time making 55s that are kind of in that tweener. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And what do you think of the current welterweight champion, Usman, and also his performance against Woodley?
I love Usman. I've known him for a long time. I've been a big fan of him. I think he's got one of the most incredible camps over at with Coach Henry Hooft. And I think the secret sauce over there really to me is Greg Jones as well, the wrestling coach over there. So I'm not surprised at by any means. I've seen Usman for a long time, and he's just – his style, the way he fights, he's just getting better and better and better. He's got that championship pedigree, so I'm not surprised at all.
And so far, during his camp, have you noticed a big difference with Kevin in terms of, I mean, is he happier or does he look faster in there? Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, we got to work a little bit last week, and then he's on the road right now in Rochester doing some media stuff. So he sounded really excited. And I think RDA is going to get anybody excited. Yeah. You know, fighting RDA is, to me, no matter what weight class you're in, the excitement of fighting him is going to be the most imperative. But, yes, he did. Knowing that we didn't have to sit in that freaking hot bath all day, he was pretty happy. So.
Yeah. And then someone else who's happy, who I just interviewed, Jessica Ai, undefeated in the flyweight division, going 3-0 right now. She spoke a lot of great things about you. First camp working with her, but I do know you guys have, you know, a bit of a history when she came to Vegas before. So can you kind of talk about that?
Well, we've been friends for a long time. It's, you know, it's a small-knit community, especially when you're on the road a lot with fighters. You meet and you talk, and we've always kind of hit it off as far as like a friendship role goes. And I like her coaches a lot over from Strong Style Gym. So when she decided to come out to Shrink Couture, we talked on the phone. I was really happy to hear that she wanted to come here. And I just hope to kind of carry on that torch of what Strong Style built from her, and we can kind of help her and get to that process and go win a title.
Now, she said that winning a title, she would be so happy to not only bring it back to her home, but also here at Extreme Couture. And she also mentioned it would mean a lot for her to bring it back, like how Misha Tate has. So can you kind of describe what it would mean for you?
Well, when Misha beat Holly Holm, it felt like a gym thing. Like we all were involved. We all were backed. And that was credit to Coach Fallis. He made sure that the whole team and the whole gym was involved in pushing. So when she won that belt, it felt like we all won that belt. You know, so I think for me as Jessica Eye's coach, I have to make sure, because this is a new team for her, that we get her involved in the gym the same way Misha was. You know, Misha always had barbecues. We did movies together. So the camaraderie there for Misha was big, and it kept the team involved. Whereas Jessica's new here, we have to kind of get her back in and make her feel comfortable first. We have 11 weeks, I think, till the fight. So we got our work to do. But I think with getting the gym and the team behind her, we're going to have that same sort of feel environment.
And according to her, it seems like you guys have done a great job so far. How do you think she and Valentina match up? And with Valentina's Muay Thai background, but Jessica's very well-rounded and a great striker.
Valentina has very little holes in her game. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those where I feel like Jessica's the type of fighter that can create a hole. Right, we have to fight her maybe a little bit more unorthodox that she's seen. We have to implement a round MMA game. We just can't come out here with one thing. And once one thing might not work, we can't get frustrated. We have to try to just change those little plan A, plan B, plan C. It's a title fight, you know, and we're fighting, I think, arguably one of the best female fighters in the world in Valentina. So I think the theme to this is stay grimy, get in her face, make it a tough fight, and understand it's a 5-round fight. You know, if you lose round one, you can't hang on that round. We have to move forward to the next and make adjustments and go from there.
And what would you credit to all the continued success of Extreme Couture?
Honestly, I think it's a combination of the people that we have here. You know, I've been here since day one, since the doors opened. I've been with Randy. You got guys like Dennis Davis and Ray Cepho and Nate Pettit and the core group of coaches that we have here. And then from when Coach Fallis was here, we built a standard together as a team. And we follow that standard. We've kept that standard. Even in Coach Fallis's passing, we try to make sure that we've kept what he kind of built with us and the team, and it's contagious. You know, you set a standard, guys live by that standard, and all the way from the small little things that we used to kind of laugh about, being on time, having the tape, having the right equipment, doing all the things right, and it transcends into being building champions. It's funny, the small little things.
No, that's
build
very true.
Yes.
Yeah, all the small things matter. But like I said, I mean, I only mentioned 4 fights, but there's so many more fights going on. So can you kind of, you know, mention a few other fighters with fights coming up?
Sure. We start the PFL. PFL will kick off in May. I'll have Jeremy Kennedy. He's a 145er moving in. And then Lance Palmer, the defending champ. So we fight on May 23rd. And then, of course, Vinny Magalesh. He's back in contention as well. So we're going to be busy. We're going to have a lot of people coming in, especially with PFL. PFL has kept us busy at Extreme Couture for sure.
And for all the viewers watching or listeners listening right now, can people join the gym? How can they do so? Because I know you guys offer many classes.
Absolutely. So we're a 24,000 square foot facility. We have over about 700 members right now, and we offer anything from cross training classes, cardio, kickboxing, to MMA. Somebody that just wants to work out and get in shape, we offer that. If somebody wants to look to fight and pursue this career, we offer that as well.
Should they follow the website, Twitter?
Absolutely. You can go to our webpage, extremecouturemma.com. You can go to Twitter at extremecouturemma. Anything. You can find us. Come by the gym, 4055 West Sunset. We'll be happy to help.
This is Joe Haro, former UNLV student athlete and director of corporate partnerships at the Hakkasan Group, and one of the many rebels among us everywhere. Supporting the Rebel Athletic Fund was my opportunity to help create that next generation of UNLV student athletes who will one day become rebels living and working in the Las Vegas community. By contributing to the Rebel Athletic Fund, you are not only leaving your mark on this group of student athletes, but just as importantly, on those who will follow. Ask yourself, what will I leave behind? To learn more about how you can make an impact, please visit rebelathleticfund.com and go Rebels.
Here's a phrase you've probably never heard before. Happy tax season. But at Best Mattress, it is happy because this tax season, we're giving you an instant rebate equal to the sales tax on qualified purchases. Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. It's just another part of the Best Mattress experience. A no-pressure atmosphere, free delivery, the brands you know and trust, Tempur-Pedic, Serta, and Beautyrest, plus the Best Mattress 120-day guarantee. Sleep easy, friends.
Hey, this is Clay Baker, and if you bet sports, you need PropSwap. We're all using it. PropSwap is your opportunity to safely buy and sell active sports wagers. So if you were hesitant to bet the game but now believe in the team, PropSwap, hey, that's your second chance. Open the PropSwap app, find a seller who's listed his ticket, and you can even buy listed tickets during the game. Hey, it happens. Did you make a bet too soon? Well, sell it on PropSwap. Turn that into cash. There are no rules, only big opportunities. Get the PropSwap app right away. PropSwap is the better's edge for sports wagering.
Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot means more meat on the grill for less money on the table. Right now, the exclusive Next Grill 5-Burner Gas Grill is only $159, regularly $199. Its 5 burners are big enough to handle 23 burgers at once. That's enough burger flipping real estate for you and 22 of your closest friends. Today is the day for doing. With the Next Grill 5-Burner Gas Grill, just $159. Now, at the Home Depot, more saving, more doing, while supplies last.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michael Minden, your most trusted and favorite Vegas family jeweler, and I've got an incredible surprise for you. You and your sweetheart are going to share the ultimate evening of love with Grammy Award winner Barry Manilow. The hits come home at the Westgate. It's my very special gift to you with any purchase over $149. This is your chance to give the one you love a new jewelry treasure. You're going to love my jewelry, and you're going to love my staff. We care about every client. We'll give you lots of great ideas and show you what's new. Now is a great time to propose, and we have every diamond shape and size. Diamond promise rings are $99. Diamond stud earrings start at $199, and diamond bracelets start at $199. How about a diamond heart necklace or a diamond heart ring? And we're most proud to offer official Vegas Golden Knights jewelry. Let us become your jeweler, and any purchase over $149 receives 2 tickets to Barry Manilow, The Hits Come Home. So make her a Minden girl.
Have you been in a car accident while working? Did you know you might have 2 cases? I'm attorney Matt Hoffman with Battleborn Injury Lawyers. When you're in a car accident on the job, you can make a claim against the other driver, and you can also make a claim for workers' compensation. And work comp can provide a lifetime of free medical treatment. At Battleborn, we'll handle both cases. And if we do, we'll handle your work comp case for free. If you've been hurt on the job, call Battleborn Injury Lawyers today at 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Putting you in the front row at the stadium.
Here's Helen Yee with Eyes on the Game.
Eyes on the Game.
On Sports 920, The Game.
And Ari, you seem to be more musically... I don't know, aware?
Yes.
Than I?
More music than sports for me.
Yeah,
I somehow
fell
into sports.
For, you know, a minute, can you kind of talk about what's taken the world and the sports world by storm? That people from LeBron James to, I mean, almost, it was like almost every other post that I've seen the past few days has been about Nipsey. So can you kind of, you know, give the audience a bit of info on that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, of course it's a big deal when any time when a well-known public figure, I'll just say, is killed. But he was a rapper from Crenshaw. He came from the Crips, like legitimately was a, you know, on the streets and the gangs and stuff, and made it from there, transitioned a great music career. And what people don't realize is he's like huge in the community, huge in activism, and really trying to uplift people and like putting back into his community. He actually was murdered right in front of a shop that he built, you know, and employed people and stuff. He just had big things going on, and it's just a real shame. And the reason why the outpour is so popular is just because his impact was so far transcended past music and into the communities. And people try to do stuff, but there wasn't a lot of people like him. I know that sounds so cliche whenever someone's killed. But yeah, he... He was doing a lot of big positive things, and he actually coincidentally had a meeting set up for the next day with the gang department, like with the police department.
The next
to talk
day?
About. Yeah, he was scheduled
that's
for that.
That's not fishy.
Yeah.
Wait,
that's...
they caught the guy though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems there's a lot of hearsay stuff that I don't want to speculate on, but it seems pretty much that the situation is it was just like some guy that knew him from before and didn't like something. It got personal, and people don't have much to lose, so they don't think about the big picture. I mean, I would never endorse murdering anyone, but like, I don't know why they had to pick this guy. He was really, really making an improvement and doing things to the better of the community. So it's a bummer, but so play a little music, at least the least I can do.
Yes. So I mean, I hate to transition from such a somber moment to talk about Will Hernandez or to even change the subject. But unfortunately, there's only a few more minutes left in this show. And
right.
I do want to play the Will Hernandez interview. If you missed the Floyd Sr. interview that was played on Tuesday, I do have the video up on lvsportsnetwork.com if you want to check that out. But here's my interview with New York Giants and Las Vegas's very own, and he's been representing this city pretty well so far, Mr. Will Hernandez. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here at PSI, being joined by the New York Giants' very own Will Hernandez. Now, last time we spoke, it was at the radio station, and you haven't been drafted by the Giants yet. So how was your first year with them?
You know, my rookie experience was great. It was definitely one to remember. You know, I got to learn a lot from guys that have been playing this game ever since I was about 5 years old, you know. So I got to learn a lot. I got to experience a whole new level of football, and it was a big jump, but I'm glad, you know, I went through that rookie year, taught me a lot, made me a better player, and I'm ready to build off of it.
Now, what was the biggest thing that you took away from your rookie year?
I would probably say technique. Technique, I've learned that in the NFL is king. Yeah. You know, everybody's strong, everybody's fast, everybody knows football in the NFL. So the thing that really separates you sometimes is being in the right position, especially at the offensive line position, and having good technique.
Now, was there someone in particular that, you know, you became very close with on the team?
Yeah, a couple vets actually on the offensive line. One of them, Nate Solder, played for the Patriots for about 6-7 years. Now he's with us. And then another one was John Greco. Those two guys, you know, took me under their wing ever since I got there. They taught me a lot from the first day till the last day. And I got very close with those guys in a short amount of time, and those guys, they're the best.
What about advice? I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys, you know, gave you advice, or did you ask for any?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've always thought, you know, asking questions is, like, the way to go. You know, you learn the most like that. You know, but I really didn't have to ask much. So, like I said, those guys were great. Right away, they started giving me advice, helping me out. Didn't even have to ask sometimes. They just kind of saw me and, you know, they would show me and teach me and offer me tips. But, those guys definitely made it a lot easier for me.
Now, did anything kind of unexpected happen where you're like, you know what? Wow, I didn't know that the NFL or it would be like this.
You know, what I really enjoyed about the NFL, and this was very different from college, and I'm sure a lot of college athletes can agree to this, is they take a lot better care of us, of our bodies, I guess. And talking about nutrition, talking about in the weight room, talking about in practice, you know, it's not pads 3 out of 4 of the days that we're working out and that we're outside practicing. So, you know, they take a lot better care of us. Recovery and nutrition-wise, so, I mean, they expect that much more from us, but that was a big difference for me from college to the NFL, and I really enjoyed it. They take a lot better care of us.
Now, heading into your second year, a lot of changes on the Giants. I mean, kind of what are some of your thoughts?
You know, I just control what I can control. You know, I have 100% trust in whatever the front office is doing and the GM. You know, I just play my part, give the best I can, and then work with whatever is on the team and whatever's there. And I mean, we're gonna be just fine. I feel like this team really is connected. Last year, record didn't obviously show it 100%, but we did build a lot. We had a lot of new guys, and I'm excited to see what this team's got this year.
Yeah. And were you surprised at all by Odell Beckham?
Yeah, I mean, this is my first year in the league. You know, I thought, you know, he's obviously a superstar player. You know, I was shocked, you know, but they did tell me before I even got in the league that it was also there's a business part to this. So, I mean, I'm just kind of learning along with all of you guys how this whole NFL thing works. But, you know, either way, I'm excited to play. I'm ready to come back, and I know the New York Giants are ready to go.
Did you have a friendship with him?
Yeah. He was actually my locker buddy when I first got in there. Cool. They put me right next to him, so I got to know him very well, very quickly, and awesome guy, awesome teammate. And, yeah, you know, I wish him the best.
Now, any funny stories, though, being locker buddies?
You know, there was just this he's a hilarious guy. He's always has something funny to say. I can't even really think of one. But what I thought was pretty funny ones is he referred to me as Fernand the Bull, you know, the animated movie. And I just thought it was the most hilarious nickname. You know, it kind of caught fire for a little bit. But, yeah, I just thought that was a funny nickname, Fernand the Bull. And that came straight out of OBJ's mouth. That was pretty funny.
So now everyone calls you that, right?
They did for a little bit, and then it kind of died down. But, yeah, it was funny for a little bit.
Now, did he give you any words of advice?
Oh, yeah. He was also one of the guys that would come up to me here and there and would just kind of talk to me and tell me, you know, hey, we got to go hard. You know, he was always about going all out and winning. You know, he didn't like to lose. He always encouraged everybody around him, especially me too, as well, being a rookie.
Now, what did you think of the Patriots winning?
You know, I thought, you know, they've been a great team for a while. You know, they're just simply a good team, good coaches. And, you know, they're just a great team.
And Rob Gronkowski's retirement, did that surprise you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, still 9 years is a long time in the league. And even though he's a great, great tight end, you know, just I think he's been hurt the last couple of years. So, I mean, I just thought maybe he had enough. And, yeah, you know, when you're hurt year after year, it kind of, like, you know, limits you to what you can do. Yeah, it takes a toll on your body. So, I mean, I'm glad he's taking care of his body now, and he's going to be able to be healthy.
Well, now you are back here in your hometown, Las Vegas. We're here at PSI. Have you been training here a lot since you've been back for the off season?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple years here. You know, it's a great gym. Trained by Mark Phillippe. Used to be one of the world's strongest men and competed in strongman competitions. You know, that's exactly what you need as an offensive lineman. So I felt really at home here and really, like, we really did, you know, specifically worked what I got to do on the field. So, yeah, this is where I like to train when I come back home. And I'm definitely getting ready for the season.
And you were at your first Golden Knights game, right? I saw you spinning for the intro to kind of get the fans hyped up. You did a great job as well.
Oh, appreciate it. No, but that was actually a very fun game for me. It was my first hockey game. And, you know, it was cool to be able to go support the home team, Las Vegas Golden Knights. They treated me really well, and they did me the huge honor of being able to crank, you know, get everybody hyped up. And I enjoyed it. And we got a great city coming together for the Golden Knights team, and I'm excited.
And what about the Raiders? I mean, their stadium, have you driven by there?
Yeah, I pass by there often. It's coming together nice. You know, the fact that it's right next to the strip is going to have an awesome view. Yeah. I think everybody's going to like it, and I think it's going to be awesome for the city.
And how do you think the Raiders will do when they move here and for the fans here? I mean, and you being born and raised here like myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Raiders have nowhere to go but up. You know, they've gotten some great free agent picks this offseason, and I think they're also building. You know, everybody's aiming to be the best in the NFL every single year, so I know they're going to come out. Yeah. Best they got. They got some great players, and I'm excited for them too.
And do you have anything to say to all your fans and the New York Giants fans?
No, I mean, I'm just, let's go. We got to go out, support our home team, Las Vegas Golden Knights. You know, I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. Came out of Chaparral High School. I have a lot of love for Las Vegas, and you know, we're going to go all out this year.
And this city loves and supports you as well. As always, great to catch up with you, and thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So that was my interview with Will Hernandez. If you missed it, or if you're just tuning in right now, you can check it out on lvsportsnetwork.com, as well as all the coverage. But I have one more interview this week. I covered the media day. UFC bantamweight Marlon Moraes will be fighting Henry Cejudo for the bantamweight title at UFC 238 on June 8th. So here's my interview with Marlon Moraes. Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here at the UFC Performance Institute, being joined by Marlon Moraes. Now, you are fighting for the vacant UFC bantamweight title June 8th at UFC 238. First off, what would it mean for you to bring that title back home?
It's going to be amazing. I can't even explain the fact that the possibility that to take that belt home, you know, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make it happen and take the belt home and celebrate with my family and my friends.
Yeah, now looking at your opponent, Henry, him, you know, being the current UFC flyweight champion and moving on up, do you think that he's deserving to kind of, you know, fight for that title against you?
He's Olympic champion. He's 125-pounder champion. He beat TJ Dillashaw, so I can't say he don't deserve, you know. Yeah. That's other guys on the division. But one thing I cannot say, that the fact that he don't deserve, he's stepping up, and let's see what's gonna happen, and let's see if he's really ready to take the second belt.
Now, I did speak to Pedro Munhoz a few weeks back, and he wanted it to be you and him for the title. Was that kind of what you were initially thinking, or, you know, would you have liked to fight him for the title?
I think it make a lot of sense, you know. If not Henry, him, he just beat a former champion. He's an excited fighter. I'm an excited fighter. And I think it should be a good show for the fans, you know.
Now, you mentioned Henry's win over TJ. Were you surprised at how quickly that fight ended?
Yes. I was very surprised. TJ is a very good fighter. And we couldn't see much, you know. I think it was a mistake from him to go down. And he paid for
it. What about his win over Demetrius Johnson in the rematch?
Demetrius Johnson is a 125-pounder, you know. He's smaller, and he got a lot of skills. He's good everywhere, but he's small, you know. And I think I bring a couple weapons that he doesn't have. It.
Like what?
I got more power. I'm way bigger than him, and Henry's not bullying me. And when he fought Demetrius, he was able to bully him because he was the bigger man.
Now, your past three fights, they have ended all in the first round. How do you see this fight playing out?
I don't know. Depend how he's going to come at, you know. And he's a wrestler. I don't think he's striking. It's there yet. And let's see. Let's see what he thinks. And then you guys are going to see how the fight's going to go.
Now, you mentioned the striking. Is that something that you're hoping to capitalize on in the fight?
Definitely. I'm not going to lie to you and say I'm not going to try punch him, kick him. That's my background. That's what I did all my life. He's a wrestler. He did that all his life. That's what he's going to try to do. And I'm not going to run away from this. Oh, I'm going to take him down. I could take him down, but I'm a striker. I'm going out there to finish this fight.
And also, looking at TJ, were you surprised that he relinquished his title?
He did some things before, very suspect, like his character, you know, but I can't judge. I don't know the guy. But this one, I didn't like at all. He comes in and says I'm going to vacate the title. He knew something was wrong, and he knew the UFC and the United States of America anti-dop agents, they were going to do something, you know. So he just anticipated, and I think he tried tricky defense.
What do you think was suspect that he's tried to do before?
I mean, like his character, you know. He had beefs before with a lot of people, leaving camps and stuff like that. A lot of people talking about him. He can prove anything. I can say anything. But that was a suspect on his character, not as a or something he was doing, you know. I mean, like this way. And when he comes in and says that to the fans, you know, he made a mistake and he have to pay for it, you know. UFC go there and UFC notice everybody. But he make a quick step and he did before.
So do you think he's guilty?
Yes. If he wasn't guilty, he was never gonna give away the belt. If I didn't kill somebody and somebody's saying I did kill, you're going to put me in the jail forever. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to say I did, you know.
Yeah. And lastly, for all the fans tuning in at UFC 238, what would you like to tell them?
you can't miss that, you know. That's a good fight. A lot of people say, I like to watch the heavyweights. The heavyweights, the fights always end up quick. They knock each other out. I'm here. I do that. So we are, our skills, nobody can say anything about how good I am as a fighter, how good Henry is. We're going to bring a lot to the table, and you guys cannot miss. That's going to be a very exciting 25 minutes. It's going to be a battle. I'm ready to go out there and win.
So who do you think's going to win that fight? You can tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. It looks like Ari was about to answer that question.
I was like, are you really asking me? I'm not the guy to ask.
Oh, that's why you were like deer in headlights.
Well, yeah, that and also that guy's really little. But I'm sure, but hey, so am I. So I'm sure he probably could whoop somebody. I'll just leave it at that.
But very talented for sure. So again, he's fighting on June 8th, UFC 238. Over in Chicago, somewhere that I've never been, but I've heard they have great pizza.
Yeah.
Chicago or New York pizza?
I've never really been to Chicago like that, so but I've had plenty of good New York pizza. But I hear Chicago's a place. Deep dish. That's where it's at.
Deep dish pizza, yes.
That's what Ballpark Frank says. He's from Chicago.
Oh, Ballpark Frank is from Chicago?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't know that.
I never knew that.
He's
what?
A diehard Blackhawks fan up until last year.
Why do I think he's more so from New York?
I could see that. I mean, it's that similar kind of big city.
Or New Jersey type of thing.
Because he's grumpy sometimes, probably.
No, Frank's cool.
Frank is awesome, but he certainly can be grumpy as well. He has that Chicago in him. That's what you're thinking.
Really? Chicago people that I know are nice.
Yeah, they're not. Here, I'm from the East Coast, so I could just say that the mentality there.
Wait, where are you from?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I just find that people there are a little less patient and aggressive and more aggressive.
Oh,
and
they're
more
always
like,
on the go.
Yeah.
And they walk a lot.
Which is fine. I am too, but it's just sometimes in a moment with people, like it's not, yeah, it's a little bit short with them. So I get that sometimes from Frank.
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone has a beautiful weekend. You can always tweet me or follow me on Instagram, Facebook. I don't use Facebook as much. I just kind of, yeah, post everything on
there.
Same here. But you can tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. Hopefully, like I said, tomorrow the weather will be nice so I can go play some golf. And I hope you enjoy your weekend. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Have a beautiful Friday.